This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us his love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those actions that will gain his love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those people that he loves. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. We're continuing this journey through Suratul Hadid. Suratul Hadid is named the Surah Iron. Hadid in Arabic is iron, and that's what the Surah is named after. And typically Surahs are named after maybe a word or a phrase or something that comes in the Surah. And tonight we're going to go over the verses in which it speaks about Hadid, right? It speaks about Hadid. This is a very beautiful part of this Surah. And I want to go back a little bit because there was a verse that we did last week, verse number 23, the end of it. See, one of the beautiful things about the Quran is the flow of it, like how one verse taps into the next verse, how one verse flows into the next verse. And subhanAllah, sometimes I remember as an early convert picking it up, sometimes like the shift was sudden. And now after years of reading and reading and constantly seeing different connections that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the book of Allah. And so in our last week, right? In our last week, we went over this verse, verse number 23. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse number 22, he's talking about calamities, right? وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِن مُصِيبَةٍ وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no calamity. And the Arabic word for calamity, the Arabic gives the meaning of asaba, like it hit the mark. And that's amazing. My wife, she was dropping some knowledge on me on the way here. And I forgot what she was talking about, but the word we use for hardship, no, I remembered it. Man, chill out. Chill out, yo. I remember what she was saying. I got to behave. She's here today, yo. No, so in English, she was like, we use the word accident. Right, we use the word accident, like, oh, there was an accident, and subhanAllah, the accident as if it wasn't supposed to happen, but for the believer, it's crazy because it's like, no, there was no way I could have avoided that. It wasn't accidental. Okay, we didn't want that to happen that way. Maybe I don't know the wisdom of it right now, but the usage of the word accident itself shapes a mentality. The usage of that word shapes a mentality like, oh, that was accident. No, it wasn't accident. That was written for you to happen just like that. Now, your job, figure out what's the wisdom God wants from me in this moment. So Allah says, ma asaba min musiba, no calamity, no hardship afflicts, comes down on the earth. Wala fi anfusikum, nor does it afflict you, except that it was written before it came into existence. It was written already that was going to happen. There was nothing you could have did to get around that. And that's a very empowering thing to think about. Because instead of focusing on, like I just said, instead of focusing on why, it's like, what am I supposed to do next? How am I supposed to move from here? And what lesson am I supposed to learn? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Indeed, that is easy for God. And then he tells us why he tells us this information. Like, why are we being informed that it's all been written before? لِكَيْلَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, so that you don't get so disheartened by what misses you, right? When something misses you and you knew afterward that there was no way I could have get that, then there's a different feeling than the feeling you have. It was like, man, I could have got that, but I didn't get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, no, I'm telling you this so that whenever something does miss you, it doesn't hit so hard. You realize there was no way I could have ever got that. Impossible for me. And وَلَا تَفْرَهُ بِمَا آتَاكُمْ, and so that you don't become exuberant over what comes your way. See, sometimes when things go our way, the response we're supposed to have is gratitude, humble gratitude to Allah. Humble gratitude. This is from Allah. Alhamdulillah. But what could happen is this overjoy with what came, not realizing that, let me be humble a bit here because this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here's the part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says here, indeed Allah doesn't love. Now that's deep because we began today's halakha saying, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, we want your love. And what that means is I want to love you more than anything, but I want your love. I want you to love me. And I think that's an important thing for us because a lot of us are searching for acceptance and love from this world that won't give it to us. And if you shift it to only seeking God's love, Allah will put the love of you in the hearts of people. But if you chase their love, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. You'll never get it. And so that's the stop chasing the dunya. Stop chasing the dunya. There's this, y'all don't gotta believe this, right? There's this wali Allah, right? The awliya, right? There's this wali Allah. Now I'm saying you don't gotta believe it, right? So don't be like, you know what I mean? So there's this wali Allah, right? And they say that whenever he wanted to give someone money, he would reach in his pocket and he would just give it, right? He'd just give it, right? And some of his students, they said that in his shoes, he'd find money in his shoes, right? And it's kind of whack. It's kind of weird, but it's deep. So one day, they asked him, they was like, Sheikh, what's the secret to this? And how could we do it? And he's like, you'll never be able to do this until the money is the same as dirt to you. When the money is the same as dirt to you, Allah will give it to you and it will just come at your door, but you don't even care about it no more. Your heart's no longer with it. Your heart's no longer with it. And that was the secret. They say the secret to his miracle of just pulling money out of his pocket was that the money didn't mean anything to him. And so Allah just gave it to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Wallahu la yuhibbu. Indeed, Allah doesn't love. He doesn't love. Kulla mukhtal. Mukhtal is an interesting word. It translates in English to conceited. Mukhtal means conceited. But the breakdown of the word is deep because mukhtal comes from a root word, khayal, which means a thought, which means you think about yourself so much. Like your thoughts about yourself. And one of the scholars, they said, your mind is so full of itself that the only thing you love is yourself. So that's why Allah says, Wallahu la yuhib, I don't love you. Because all you've been chasing is your own love. Why do you want my love? Why do you want my love? Inna Allaha la yuhibbu. Like you love yourself so much. Why should Allah love you? Your heart should have been focused on Allah's love. And this word mukhtal is the textbook narcissistic mentality where it's all about me, me, me. But the crazy word is khiyal, is that it's all up here. Like you ain't even all that, low key. But in your head, you like, yo, they saw me walk in, yo. Like, what? Ain't nobody see you, bro. We didn't even notice you walking, bro. But in your head, everyone remembers, like, oh, you know what I mean? SubhanAllah. So Allah says, Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtal. Allah doesn't love the conceited person, the one who's focused on themselves. Fakhur. And indeed, Allah doesn't love the fakhur. Fakhur is deep. Fakhur is someone who isn't just proud, but boastfully proud. Boastfully proud. They compete and are proud about external things. Wealth, appearance, fame, name, external. Nothing real. Only external. This is fakhur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us these two qualities. Are they in you? Is it all about you? And do you have that quality of fakhur? And the word fakhur, it actually means it's like an attribute, fakhur. Now that was a verse we did last week. But the reason I backed up is because it actually flows into the next verse where Allah says, I'm going to continue what we just read. Wallahu la yuhibbu kulla mukhtal fakhur. Alladhina. Allah says, those who yabakhaluna. They're stingy with what they have. Bukhl in Arabic means to hold back. Now, this is crazy because the prophetic quality is jud. Jud in Arabic means this extreme giving. Now, look at the connection to what we just said. He said the only way this money comes to you like that is when it's like dirt to you. When you hold on to it so much, it's because it has so much power over your heart. الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ Allah says, those who يَبَخَلُوا, they hold back. Now, interesting thing, this verse was talking, like when we talked about this verse, it was about the hypocrites. Remember in Medina, the munafiqeen, who outwardly are showing faith, but inside there's not, it's not really there. So here's the deal. The stinginess isn't just about money. But stinginess is about whatever God is asking you to give in that moment. And the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they're always holding back. They were building the masjid, they're holding back. They're digging the trench around Medina, they're not showing up on time. Wealth is needed, they're holding back. This bukhl is a dangerous quality. And that's why every morning the Prophet ﷺ used to read a dua, O Allah, I seek protection from al-bukhl wal-jubun. Jubun means cowardice. O Allah, never make me a coward. And O Allah, never make me someone that just holds back, stingy. The scholars, they say the reason he joined these two together is because they both stem from fear. You're afraid. You're afraid. That's the common thing. You're a coward because you're afraid, and you're stingy because you're afraid. But when you have true courage, then you give. Abu Bakr just gave, and someone's like, what are you going to do about home? He's like, Allah's got home, bro. No fear. That's the quality that we want. الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْبُخْلِ Hadith of the Rasul, the Prophet, one time he said, اِتَّقُوا الشُّحْ Be careful of being stingy. Be careful, beware. اِتَّقُوا Watch out for it. فَإِنَّ شُحْهَ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ Because stinginess is what destroyed the previous nations. It caused them to shed blood. And then what does Allah say about them? الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ Now hold up. What's the connection between indeed Allah doesn't love the conceited, boastful person and the verse we're reading now, الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ Those who are stingy. That's amazing. The scholars, they said, when you build that conceited nature and that fakhur nature, you turn away from people. And now if you're turning away from people, I'm not trying to help people. In fact, when they call, when your cousin calls, you like, tell him I ain't home. You're avoiding. That's the connection. الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ Those who are stingy in themselves, we ask Allah to remove that from our hearts, right? And the only way you can remove it is by giving more. That's it. You just got to give. You just got to give. You just got to give. And the hadith says you give. When they describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one man, he came to Medina. And he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he asked him for something. The Prophet gave him. He asked him. The Prophet gave him. He asked him for more. The Prophet gave him. He goes back to his tribe. And he goes, y'all got to accept Islam. Y'all got to become Muslim. This man gives as if he's a man that doesn't fear poverty. He doesn't fear. There's no fear. But then he taught the man, I'll give you as much as you want, but watch out. This money is dangerous for you. You could take as much as you want, but beware. The money is dangerous for your heart. الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ But that's not enough. Misery loves company. So what does the Quran say next? وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ They're stingy, and what do? They tell other people to be stingy too. Because it's not enough for me to hold back, I need other people to hold back too. You know when you silent quit at work? Y'all ever did that? Don't do it, it's not good. You know when you silent quit, you start reaching out to the next dude. Yo, yeah, the boss been tripping lately, right? You're good. You're like, nah, they just gave me a promotion. I'm good. Why are you trying to make me a hater? But the nature of the munafiqeen is they were always trying to spread that. They were always trying to spread that misery. They were always trying to spread that sickness that was in them. So it wasn't enough for them to just have the sickness inside. They had to start working on others. الَّذِينَ يَبَخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْبُخْلِ You know what one of the scholars said? They don't say it openly, but their actions set up an example for other people to be stingy. الَّذِينَ those who are stingy, and through their action, they tell other people to hold back. So set the example, be the one that's giving. وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ And then Allah says, because this person was arrogant. They were full of themselves. They were conceited. They were boastful. And they were bakhil. I don't need to give charity. I'm not giving charity nothing. No, I'm not helping the poor. None of that. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّى. Allah says, whoever turns away. Now imagine the way the person didn't give sadaqah. They turned away. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّى. Whoever turns away. Look what Allah is saying. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّى. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِي. Indeed, Allah is free of need. This is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I don't need your charity. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّى. His words are, I don't need. What some of the scholars say is the verse makes you realize, wait, Allah doesn't need it. I'm the one that needs this charity. I'm the one that needs this opportunity to do good. Like, listen to the verse again. Those who are stingy, and they command others to be stingy. And indeed, whoever turns away, then know that indeed Allah is ghani. Allah is free of need. The mentality that you're thinking when you read it is like, wait, Allah is free of need. What about me? I need every opportunity for charity that comes my way. And the example that hits me is Musa alayhi salam, Moses. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is traveling. You know the story. He sees two women trying to water their flock, and they can't do it by themselves. So he helps them. But what he says after is what's mind-blowing. But what is it? No, the whole verse. إِلَى ذِلِّي فَقَالَ رَبِّي. He turns to the shade and he sits down. فَقَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. He, after helping, he sits down and he goes, Ya Allah, I need every opportunity for good you could send my way. Now notice the mentality. I'm in need. But look, I'm not in need of dunya. I'm in need of opportunities to do good. Oh Allah, keep sending them my way. Do you think Allah is not going to keep throwing opportunities to do good your way when you're asking Him for it? So the mentality is like, get the love of the world out. Don't think that Allah needs your sadaqah. He doesn't need your charity. And when you realize that Allah doesn't need your charity, in that moment, realize how much you actually need this opportunity for good. The scholars, they say, if you knew how much benefit you get by giving charity, you giver would be thanking the one taking your sadaqah. You know how you give, they're like, oh, thank you so much. No. If you truly understood what this will do for you on the day of judgment, you'd be the one thanking them for, thank you for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for the opportunity. I need this. This is for me. Can you imagine what our society would be like if all of us looked at charity as from that perspective? I need the opportunity to do khair. Mind-blowing. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّى. Whoever turns away, then know that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani. Allah is ghani. Ghani means free of need. He doesn't need it. This is for you. Hamid, always praiseworthy. And now we move on to the next verse. And this is the verse that actually has the word hadid or iron in it. And it's a powerful verse. You know, the hypocrites that were around the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, they held back, they turned away, they didn't believe. And the next verse begins by saying, why are you turning away? This message isn't something new. You know, there's a brother in the room, he's going to take his shahada right when we're done, inshallah. And one of the things I want to say is this message is the continuation of the previous messages. And so Allah begins this verse by reminding the listeners, me and you, and those who are around the Prophet who turned away, this message isn't something new. This message of the oneness of God, this message of the day of judgment, this message that life is going to pass you by like this, this isn't new. This is the same message that Maryam heard. This is the same message that Ibrahim taught. This is the same message that Asiya believed in. This is the same. It's the same thing. There's nothing new here. Why is that being said? There's two reasons. Number one reason, why are you turning away from this message? It's the same message that came before. And number two, guess who else is being comforted by hearing that, y'all? The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, peace and blessings, the Prophet Muhammad, he was calling people. He's giving them dawah. And they're turning away. And his heart is breaking because he's like, I'm doing everything for you. I'm giving you something that's for you, but you keep turning away. So Allah says to him, Habibi, there were prophets before you and people that denied before you. Don't worry, you're in the right crew. You're with the right gang. You're with the right peoples. You're not the first one to be denied. There's others that were denied just like you. So this verse, verse number 25, Allah begins by saying, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا. Allah says, indeed, we sent our prophets before. The word prophets means all of them. That's the message of Islam, all of the prophets. We sent our prophets before. بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. With clear signs, miracles. Every prophet came with miracles. Every prophet came with miracles because that miracle was the proof that this isn't from me. This is from Allah. Every prophet was given signs from the first to the final. بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. وَأَنزَلْنَا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمْ. But we didn't just send you prophets. We sent something with them. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. We sent all of the prophets with books. This hidayah, this guidance. And the word kitab, the scholars say it means kutub, books. We sent all of the prophets with these books. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانِ. And we sent them down with the balance. The word mizan. The word mizan means a scale. And we sent them down with the balance. We sent them down with the book and with the scale. Now, what is this referring to? The balance is the criterion by which a person judges falsehood and truth. The balance represents the middle path of all actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you want that straight path in life, if you want to know how to get to your destination, the pleasure of God, prophets were sent and they came with two things. The verse is actually going to say three things, but we'll talk about that. Number one, they came with the book. The book was to set your sights right. It was to give you the correct understanding, what God wants from me. But the mizan was to create balance in every way in your life. Man's conduct, collectively balanced. And the scholars say this is referring to justice. Justice. God sent down justice. What is this talking about? The rights of everything. One of the most beautiful things I love about Islam is that it taught me the right of everything around me. It taught me the right of my mother. Jannah's under her feet. It taught me the right of my father. Listen to him. Respect him. It taught me the right of my neighbor. What did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you're cooking food and your neighbor can smell it, send some over. Send some over. The right of the neighbor. Justice, the mizan. This word is deep because the mizan means like the balance, the scale, the fairness, equity. The rights of the leader, the rights of, subhanAllah, the Prophet taught us the rights of the street. The Sahaba, one day they were sitting, they were chilling. You know, we say like, we used to chill, like chill on the block. They were chilling. And the Prophet walked past, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَجُلُوسْ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ. He said, don't chill on the corners. This ain't a Dallas hadith, low-key. This ain't a Dallas hadith, yo. It's a Northeast hadith, yeah, but it's okay, cool. The Prophet said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسْ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ. He said, don't sit in the street. That's a profound hadith. The Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, مَا لَنَا بُدْ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't got nowhere else to chill. He said, okay. He said, if you're going to sit in the street, you have to give the right to the street. The right to the street? Okay, you taught me my mother has a right. You taught me my father has a right. You taught me animals have right. You taught me my wife has a right. You taught me my sister has a right. The street has a right? Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi said, yeah, the street has a right. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what's the right of the street? He said, if you see someone lost, guide them. If you see something harmful, pick it up. He said, if you see something you shouldn't, that's there, look down, lower your gaze. In other words, everything has a right. In the balance of giving the rights to everything was given, he says, anzalna. Here's the deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he's saying that prophets are the ones who bring justice. Let me share a hadith with you. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an. And this hits different because of the ceasefire today. This hits so different now that the source of justice, the source of justice for the Western world was, oh, we will create justice in the world. I was talking to a friend this morning. He was like, in the West, it's not justice. It's just us. It's not justice. It's just us. That's all it is. We'll establish justice here if you got the right color passport. Your life is equal to other lives if you got the right color passport. And let me give an example. The Quran, subhanAllah, so beautifully says that the right of life is at in the nafs bin nafs wal ayna bil ayn, a life for a life, an eye for an eye. That's Allah's rule. That's Allah. Allah's giving us the mizan, the scales of justice in that verse. Al ayn bil ayn, al udhn bil udhn, an ear for an ear, an eye for an eye, a life for a life. Now, according to the narrative of the West, if you take October 7th, how many people were killed? We know it started before then. I'm just giving it devil's advocate here. How many? Whatever the number was, we learned that a Western first world life is equal to 10,000 or so third world lives. That's why Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْمِيزَانِ. We sent down the mizan. In Surah Rahman, Surah Rahman is some of our favorite surahs. Some of us, our favorite surah is Surah Rahman. In the beginning of Surah Rahman, what does Allah say? He says, what are the blessings I gave you? Ar-Rahman, I taught you the book of Allah. I gave you guidance in the word. And then I taught you how to speak. I gave you eloquence so you can articulate what's in your heart. And then what does he say next? Wa wada'a al-mizan. And I sent down justice. Justice is from me. I will establish justice. You'll get that from me. Now listen to this hadith. This is profound. Jabir radiallahu anhu. He said that one day, a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil ji'rana. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a battle that happened. There was a battle because people didn't want the Prophet's message to get out. Because that message brought social reform. That message took Bilal from being dragged on the ground and put him on top of the Kaaba. People don't like to see the lower class lifted up. They don't want that to happen. So they fought against them. And we're going to talk about that in the coming minutes. The Prophet was coming back from Ji'rana. And there were spoils of war that had been collected because a war had just happened in Hunain. And there was all this money. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us money is nothing. Money is nothing. We're not winning wars for money. We're winning wars for hearts. We're winning wars so that this message could pass on. And because you're stopping it, that's it. And so the Prophet is giving the money out. And like these, he's just giving it. He's just giving it. They said he's crazy. He's giving like he doesn't know what it's worth. And he was giving it to win the hearts too. He was giving it to pull them in. I told y'all about the one dude who took Shahada because he saw the parking lot. Yo, you never know the way into someone's heart. The Prophet wrestled a man for Shahada. I see my jujitsu brothers in the corner. I'm going to look this way. I ain't messing with y'all. The ears tell you, don't mess with a certain brother, yo. You already know, don't mess. The prophet spoke the language of the hearts. Some people, the language is wealth. So he was giving the wealth. And a man comes up to him. And subhanAllah, the gold is in the thobe of Bilal. Bilal has his jubba up, and the gold is in his thobe. فِي ثَوْبِ بِلَال فِضَّةٌ. There's silver inside his thing. And the Prophet ﷺ is reaching in And he's just giving it, Mujahid, giving it, giving it, giving it. And a man comes over who seemingly isn't Muslim yet, but he's just rolling with everybody. Well, Rasulullah is giving it. So the man looks up, he says, Ya Muhammad. That's how you know something was up. He said, Ya Muhammad. He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Ya Muhammad. He said, Ya Muhammad, i'adil. He said, Ya Muhammad, be just. The Prophet looked at him and he said, Waylak, woe to you. Look at these words. Wa man ya'dil idha lam akun adil. He said, this is profound. He said, who could be just if I'm not just? Now hold on, you gotta understand what he's actually saying. He's saying, what recourse do we have to goodness if the prophets of God don't bring goodness? If the prophets of God don't bring us goodness, how would we ever find goodness? I was talking to a sheikh. He was saying that the justice that we see remaining in places that don't have Allah is only the remnants of previous prophets and their teachings passing down. The source of justice is from God. The source of justice is from God. And when you tap into that message, the consequences of justice will be established. So what is the prophet saying here? He's saying, if you don't tap into me, إِلَّمْ أَكُنْ عَدِلْ فَمَنْ يَعْدِلْ. He says, if I'm not just, who's just? How will you determine what justice is if you take me, the prophet of God, out of the picture? And in fact, he's saying all prophets, they are the source of our guidance. They are the source of our justice. لَقَدْ خِبْتَ وَخَسِرْتَ. He's like, you'll lose and you'll be lost if we, the prophets, don't bring justice. There's the hadith, y'all, where the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he said that as we get closer to the day of judgment, what happens is complete collapse in morality. And the scholars, they say that every day that we get further and further away from the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, every day is a bit darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. In fact, the Sahaba, they said, the companions, they said, when we buried the Prophet, the moment we buried him, we noticed the change right away. We were like, yo, something's different. The air is different. Something's different. Because he had left the world. And so the Prophet said, by the time the last days come, the ma'ruf, the good will become bad and the bad will become the good. And so what the Prophet is teaching us, and this is what's profound, he's not teaching us that towards the end of times there'll be no mizan, but the mizan will switch. See, the mizan is how you tell what something is. It's how I distinguish. It's, all right, let me go linguistic for it. Can we go linguistic for a minute? So check this. The word mizan comes from a root word mayaza in Arabic. And mayaza in Arabic means to distinguish, to know, like, to differentiate between things. I'll give you an example. In the Urdu language, when somebody is acting up, when a kid is acting up, they say bad tamiz. And bad tamiz means they have bad tamiz. Tamiz means the ability to distinguish. So you sitting here jumping, moving around, and like making a scene, you don't have the ability to determine what's the action that should happen in this moment. So the mizan is the thing that tells us what the right action is. But what happens towards the time we get closer to Qiyamah, we get away from a prophetic mizan and we slip up into a dajjal mizan, the mizan of shaitan, where it's just flipped over. He'll tell you what's right and wrong, but it's not what the Prophet said. Here's an example. The Prophet is our mizan. Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. One day he's sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what I want us to learn from this narration is that through the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, everything is given its value. When you take him out, I grew up as a kid watching Simpsons, yo. Now hear me out. Like the real stuff. Y'all watching like the old, the real joint. I grew up watching Simpsons, okay? And when you take the Prophet's teachings out of the equation, Homer becomes Homer, not Dad. Homer becomes Homer, not Dad. Not my beloved father. Not ala aini wa ra'si. Homer. What I'm trying to highlight is the haq that a mother has is a God-given haq. I used to, back in the day, I used to spend time with Brother Mori Salah Khan. He's the one that does so much of the work for who? Sister Afia Siddiqui. And I remember this from 15 years ago, because he's been doing so much work for trying to free Afia Siddiqui, free her from an unjust system. And he said, Sheikh, don't call it civil rights, call it human rights. Because when you call it civil rights, society could take it away. When it's human, it's God-given. It's God-given. Haq is from God. Allah has given the mother her position. Allah has given the neighbor their position. Allah has given the wife her position, the husband his position. That's from God. And the moment you take him out of it, so listen to this. The Prophet is what gives us the value of everything. Listen to this narration. Sahel bin Sa'd. He says that one day the Prophet ﷺ was sitting next to another man. It's just him and another person. This hadith is deep. He's sitting down next to another person. It's just him and Rasulullah. A man walks past. Marra rajulin ala Rasulillah. A man walks past in front of Rasulullah. The Prophet looks to the guy next to him. And he says, ما رأيك في هذا? He says, yo, what do you think about this guy right here? Now, the guy that walked past was a well-to-do guy of Medina. He was a leader of Medina. So he says, oh, man, هذا من أشراف الناس. This is the lead of the leading people. He says, هذا والله. This man, if he asks for somebody's hands in marriage, he'll get it. If he speaks, people listen. If he intercedes, they'll accept his intercession. The Prophet ﷺ stayed quiet. He didn't say anything. He sat down. A few moments later, somebody else walks past. I'm telling you, the Prophet is the mizan. He's teaching me how to see life. Another man walks past. The Prophet ﷺ says to him, the same guy, he goes, what do you think about that? مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا? What do you say about this man? مَا رَأْيُكَ فِي هَذَا? He says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ هُوَ مِن فُقَرَاءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ, he's a poor Muslim. He's not making fun, he's just calling it out. He said, yeah, he's a poor Muslim. In khataba, if he proposes, he won't get married. If he speaks, nobody listens. If he tries to speak up, his word won't be taken. The Prophet ﷺ, he looked at the man next to him and he said, هَذَا, this man who just walked, خَيْرٌ مِنْ مِلْءَ الْأَضْمِنْ مِثْلَ هَذَا. This man who just walked past is better than an earth full. This one man is better than an earth full of the other man. Why do I share this hadith? Because this man was looking at life through a certain perspective. He was giving value based on a certain thing. And this verse is teaching us the thing that teaches you to give value comes through the Prophet ﷺ. I'll give you another example. There was a man who had Damim al-Wajh. He wasn't a very attractive man. You know the narration. I've said it before. Zuhair. And he was selling his merchandise at the table. The Prophet came and hugged him from behind. And he's like, who wants to buy this man from me? He turned and he looked at the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulullah, they won't pay a lot of money for me. They won't pay a lot for me. I'm not much, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah turned him around. Mizan. He says, Anta indallah ghali. He says, you are priceless in the sight of God. Don't look at yourself through the mizan, the scales of other people. If you use other people's scales, you'll never measure up to your full potential. And so that's what we're learning here, that the mizan comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now hold on. Mizan is to teach us right and wrong, right? Nah. Mizan is about always pleasing Allah. Always pleasing Allah. That's what it's about. I'm always looking for in this moment what pleases Allah. That's it. Not right or wrong. What pleases Allah in this moment? And the reason I say that is sometimes there's two rights sitting on the table. There's two rights on the table. I'm looking at what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what I'm searching for. So, justice from Allah, balance from Allah, the scales of right and wrong sent down with the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, let's continue this verse, because it's about to get real if it wasn't real already. وَأَنزَلْنَا, and we sent down with these prophets the books. We sent down the books. And what else did we send with the books? We sent the scales, the balances of justice. Justice comes through connecting through the prophets of Allah. Balance in your life, balance in society, balance in the family. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْتِ And we sent down this justice so that people could establish adal, qist, justice on this earth. That's the reason we sent down the book, and that's why we sent down the scales. But here's what's next. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ And we gave humanity hadid, iron. فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ And this iron has a ba'sun shadid, mighty force. It has ba'sun shadid. Imam Razi says this. Three things are mentioned. A book, a scale, and iron. Imam Razi says in life, you're dealing with three people in life typically. He says number one is you're dealing with Allah. And your relationship with Allah is based on the kitab. That's why he mentioned kitab. And on the other side, you're dealing with the creation. And you're either dealing with people that you love or people that have love for you. For them, you just need the mizan, so you're balanced and just. But who's on the other side, y'all? The haters. The people that want ill for you. The people that want to see ill done to you. The a'da, your enemy. Someone against you. Al-hadid. Hadid, iron. When we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see strength and compassion. Strength and compassion. But the strength is what protects the compassion. Because without strength, the compassion is consumed. Without strength, the compassion of the Prophet is consumed by the haters. Waraqa bin Nawfal. When the Prophet's message begins, he's an old man. And he says, man, I wish I was young. I wish I was young so that I could support you and defend you when they kick you out of the city. The Prophet, so I said to him, he paused because he's the most compassionate. He's the trustworthy. He goes, why would they kick me out? Everybody loves me. Waraqa, he says, no, you don't get it. Anybody who comes with this message from God, bringing change to society, anyone who brings this message, udiya, they're fought against. They're fought against. Moses was fought against. Abraham fought against. Jesus fought against. Because the message brought change and it brought deep meaning to people's life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying that I'm giving you hadid. I'm sending down iron. Why? So that you can defend yourself. So that you can establish justice. What is the, you remember in like 12th, 11th grade? What's the legislative body without the executive, yo? You don't remember this? You don't remember? Come on, bro. You smart, mad smart. You STEM. You a STEM dude. That's why. All right. What is the law without the enforcement of it? And so that's what I'm trying to highlight here is that the Prophet ﷺ wasn't just compassionate. He was strong. And hence the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-mu'min qawi. Listen to this hadith, brothers and sisters. Al-mu'min qawi. خَيْرٌ مِّن مُؤْمِن ضَعِيفٌ The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the strong believer is better than the weak believer. Because the strong believer is able to defend our ummah, defend who we are. Malcolm X, man. Yeah. Malcolm X, he told us that ain't nobody going to just give you rights until you make them give you rights. Until you make them respect you as a person. This is what we learned through that. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, Al-mu'min qawi, physical strength is something a mu'min should have. In another hadith, which is my favorite hadith. I mean, I heard this hadith as a student, but it immediately became my favorite hadith. Because as a Christian, and I'm gonna make this make clear to us, inshallah. As a Christian, it's often said, turn the other cheek. Which I often believe, and I'm going to explain, is a misunderstanding of what Jesus taught. But we'll talk about that in a minute. And so there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ was asked by a man, Al-mar'u yuridu akhdha mali. A man tries to take my wealth. What should I do? And this was a big moment for me. I'm like, man, I'm a Muslim now. What's this hadith going to say? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, قاتله. Fight him back. Fight him back. No one told you to just give your stuff away. He said, fight him back. The person, he goes, Ya Rasulullah. I mean, fighting can escalate. He goes, what if I kill him in the fight? I didn't mean to. I'm trying to defend myself. And this is the beauty about Islam and this concept of this hadith, this iron. The iron represents weapons. That's what it represents. But here's the beauty. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا تَتَمَنَّوا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوُ. Don't wish for war. Don't wish for battle. Don't wish for that. But when it jumps off, then stand strong. That's the prophetic model. See the balance? Don't wish for it. Don't be walking around trying to pick fights. You know what I mean? You're trying to take my money? Nah, chill. Relax. Relax. You're not looking for that. لَا تَتَمَنَّوا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوُ. Don't wish to meet the enemy, but so that justice is upheld, the good people must be strong. That's what the Quran is teaching us right here. The Prophet, he said, and I'm going to finish the first hadith. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what if I kill the person on accident? He said, Huwa finnar, he's in the fire of hell. He was stealing your money. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, what if he kills me? He says, Anta Shaheed, you're in Jannah, you're a Shaheed. You died defending your wealth. That's a beautiful hadith. Because this deen is teaching us balance, and that hadith represents strength. Because strength is needed in order for the compassionate to remain being compassionate. Let me share another verse of Quran with you. Because the Quran, yufassiru ba'dahu ba'dah, the Quran explains itself. In one verse, Surah Hajj, Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفُوا اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضُ. If it wasn't for the fact that Allah pushes some people back through other people, then the monasteries, then the synagogues, then the churches, and the masjids would be destroyed, in which God's name is remembered. This verse is saying the strength is to protect everyone who wants to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a beautiful verse. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ. Allah says, and we sent down hadid. فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. We sent down iron that has force and might. It has force and might. May Allah give us strength as a ummah. You know, silver lining of October 7th, and we celebrate a ceasefire today, y'all. We celebrate a ceasefire. We still wish for justice to happen and know it will, but we celebrate a ceasefire. But you know what I celebrate in history? Salahuddin Ayyubi. I celebrate strong ummah that we had. And the Quran speaks about that. But what happened is we just became so like defensive and so, oh no, sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. To what extent? And so the Quran is teaching that I sent this down for good people to uphold justice. And one of the silver linings of October 7th is the disenchantment that the Western world would uphold justice is gone. Is it not? Or you still think we're going to call the UN when things get rough? Oh, you still think SGC, CG, court, whatever. What is it? I don't even know. Whatever. Pointless. You still think they're going to uphold justice? Do you still think certain people, when they see enough genocide, will step up and be like, yeah, that's wrong? No, they won't. They'll follow where the dollars and cents go. And we've been shown that. Allah has shown it to our generation right in front of you. And that's why I said Malcolm X and the African Americans who fought in the civil rights movement back in the 70s taught us something. That people won't give you your rights until you make them give you your rights. And so there's an aspect of being a strong ummah, being a proud ummah. And I want to explain something. This narrative that Jesus was just this pacifist is so wrong. In the Bible, it speaks about Jesus coming into the temple. In the temple, they were trading and they were doing business. And business in the masjid is not allowed. Same thing. So he comes and he's overturning the tables. That sounds like a revolution to me. He's overturning the tables.
So the balance is this. The balance, mizan, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the balance. He said, you don't look for battles. You don't look for hardship. You don't, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. But that doesn't mean don't be a strong ummah. That doesn't mean don't build strong qualities as an ummah. So that's what's being taught here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this surah is named Al-Hadid to represent the strength that an ummah needs. And the strength is needed to preserve the compassion. Because if all we had was compassion, we would be consumed. And the Prophet was so strong. He wore the hadid. Can I tell y'all a story? One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the battle of Uhud. We were being attacked. Our Medina was being attacked. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talks to the Sahaba, what should we do? Should we fight them from inside Medina or should we go out and fight? The youngins who missed Badr, they said, Ya Rasulullah, let's go out and fight. The OGs, the elders, they said, Ya Rasulullah, let's fight from inside the city. We'll hit them from the rooftops. That's what they said. I'm not making it up. Finally, the Prophet agreed, let's go out and fight. We're being attacked. Let's go. It's time to go. The Prophet goes into his house. It's after Jummah. He puts on his armor. He gears up his armor. While he's in the house getting ready, hadid. The Sahaba outside, they say, you know, maybe we forced him. Maybe we pushed too hard. Let's tell him we can fight from inside if he wants. The Prophet comes out in his battle garb. The Prophet comes out completely covered. He has a helmet on. He has his armor on. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, just picture this compassionate man who rolled around on the floor with his grandchildren. Now in the right moment, he's the strongest he could be. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, we're kind of sorry. If you want to stay, he goes, I already got my armor on. It doesn't befit any prophet. See, not me. He's like, it's not me. This is every prophet. He says, it doesn't befit a prophet that once they put armor on, that they take it off until Allah has decided between the enemy and them. He says, let's go. It's time to go and defend this Medina. It's time to establish justice. That's what we have to do. Let's finish this verse. وَأَنزَلْنَا We sent down the book, we sent down the scales, and we sent down hadid. The book connects you to Allah, the scale is for everyone that wants justice, and the hadid is for everyone that wants the hadid. We in Texas, right? All right. I was going over this verse, I was like, man, it's Texas, man, it's all good, yo. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ And we sent down here means we blessed you with it, it's from us, iron in which there is might. وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ And there are so many other benefits that we give you through this iron. Meaning everything that you build from this iron, see that I am the bestower of the original gift. Like whatever you build, whatever you make, whatever you program, STEM, you know what I mean? Whatever you do, you're using what God has already given you. God's blessings upon you. And then Allah says, why did He give us hadith? لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ Allah wants to see who's going to help him. You know, there's certain shabab in this room that for the entire duration of this genocide, they couldn't sleep, man. Certain shabab in this room, they did everything they could do to stand up for the people of Gaza. حَتَّى يَعْنِي فِي السِّجِنْ صَحْ هُوَ مَوْجُودْ مَعْنَا They did everything. And now the ceasefire is here, a year, it's some change. But in that time, they proved to Allah. They proved to Allah that I'm going to be at every rally, I'm going to organize everything, I'm going to do everything I can. Allah says, why did I send this down? Because I want to see who's real. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ Who will help Allah? Crazy thing is, help Allah, Allah don't need your help. The word, the Quran says, مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ Who will help Allah? Helping Allah is helping yourself. مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ Without seeing Allah, who will help the deen? And how does the verse end? And we will end. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ Indeed, Allah is قَوِي. What's قَوِي? Strong, powerful. Here it is. Allah is Qawi, so the Prophet adopted the quality of Qawi. The Prophet was Qawi, so we adopt the quality of Qawi. That's an ummah. Why? For the sake of strength? No. For the mizan, to establish goodness and justice on the earth. That's the objective.
Inna Allaha Qawiyun. Indeed, Allah is all mighty, all powerful. Azizun. And indeed, Allah is Aziz, which is mighty, inshallah ta'ala. We have just a few more verses, maybe four more verses of the surah. This is a beautiful, beautiful part of the surah that asks us to look at the world. How are we, what scale are we using to judge the world? What balance are we using? And is that balance in our life? Have we connected to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we using our strengths, guys? Our strengths. Now, before I end, I want to share something with you. Hassan bin Thabit. He was the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet said about him, he couldn't fight. He could not go for the battles, y'all. He could not go. Can I tell you a funny story, Loki? Check this. Don't worry, we're going to do the shahada. I got you, bro. I ain't even supposed to delay that. Hear me out on this. We were being attacked. It was Khandaq. We were being attacked again. ليقوم الناس بالقس. We're just fighting to defend ourselves. We're being attacked, and from inside, the Yahud inside Medina are attacking us. The Jews are inside Medina. So all of the women are at a certain place because it's safer there. And Safiya, she's the aunt of the Prophet. She was no joke. Strong woman. Like, you ain't messing with Safiya. Very strong woman. So Safiya sees this guy prowling around the fortress that they're in. So Safiya looks over to Hassan bin Thabit, who's in the fortress too. We'll talk about that in a minute. She goes, Hassan, there's a man outside prowling. Go get him. It's a time of war. Like, if he gets in, that's dangerous. Hassan looks at her and he goes, if I could fight him, I'd be there now. I'm here with you. What happened is Hassan bin Thabit had seen something very traumatic. And the scholars, they say he had a strong PTSD, very bad. And he couldn't see fighting anymore. And so the Prophet excused him. But here's what I want to say. By the way, Safiya goes down and takes care of him, by the way. No joke. Here's what I wanted to say, though. All of our strengths are different. Hassan bin Thabit never picked up a sword. He picked up a pen. And the Prophet said that pen is harder on them than 1,000 swords. Everyone has a different strength. Everyone has a different capacity. Find your strength and use that for Allah. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ. What's your hadid? What's your hadid? There's a poet, Tariq Touré, and his quote is pens over swords. Pens over swords. Because that's the sword for some of us, the pen. Some of us, it's our tongue. I don't know what your sword is. I don't know what it is. But use whatever strength you have for the sake of Allah. Write some good code. Inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq. Come up here, brother. What's your name? Deshaun, come up here.